Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have two interesting, fascinating guests. Of course, my old friend Tim Beckley, whom I've known for 400 or 500 years in various incarnations. He joins us. Tim?
Good evening, Gene. Hi, Chris. How are you doing out there?
Happy New Year, man.
You too.
Our special guest is Ray B. Palmer. He's the son of the UFO and occult legendary editor and publisher Ray Palmer. And of course, he's not Junior. He's Raymond B. And of course, Ray Palmer was Raymond A. And we'll talk about the life and times of Ray Palmer and how Ray B. Palmer interacted with a lot of the interesting people in the UFO field, including Richard Shaver, who lived just down the road. Now, as those of you who have known me for years will realize, I met Ray Palmer back in the mid-1960s. That ages me. And I don't know if you were at home at the time, Ray B., or not, but I visited your home in Amherst in 1965 with a group of people, including Jim Moseley, Rick Hilberg, and I have to think of the other person. It was Alan Greenfield. And I spent about a half hour interviewing Ray about a number of different subjects, including Richard Shaver, the Shaver mystery, some of his experiences, and the response that Amazing Stories received to the Shaver mystery. I thought it was really fascinating. So, Ray, welcome to the Paracast. And I'm going to ask you one simple question. Growing up in that environment, did it get you really curious about the mysteries of our lifetime?
Well, back then it wasn't quite so much. I just grew up with it, so it was normal to me. I would say I didn't actually start reading Shaver stuff and the science fiction stuff till later years.
Now, at the time, and I guess when we talk about 1965, you must have been a teenager then, right?
I was 15 then.
Okay. So at that particular point in time, you were just going to school, and you didn't care about this neighbor down the road, Richard Shaver, but did you ever talk to him about his experiences?
Oh, yes. I didn't say I didn't care. It's just that I just grew up with him. And I remember going up there, and I'd always hear his stories, and he'd have his rocks, and he'd be showing, well, my sister would be up there too, Jennifer and myself, and he'd show us the rocks and show us the pictures in there. And so, yes, it was just sort of an everyday occurrence to us.
Now, as our listeners know, Richard Shaver claimed to have spent time in the caves with creatures known as the Dero and the Tiro, but later in his life, he was dealing with something called rock books, which were like crystalline rocks, do I take it right here, Ray, that he said contained the knowledge of the ancients?
Yes. And again, I went out with him rock hunting back then. So it wasn't his later years, actually. It was because I was 15, I suppose I went rock hunting with him when I was 10 or 11, too. We'd just go out to the rock piles around the area and pick up rocks, and he'd look at them. And some he could stuff in, some he couldn't.
And he had all this elaborate systems with lenses.
He had a rock saw, which he cut the rock.
And he had the lenses trying to look at the rocks to see if there was something there. And I think the people who were critical would say this is just some kind of Rorschach test. You see what you think you're going to see in these prints he made of the rocks. What did you think?
Well, just watching the way he looked at them, I just remember years ago when these magic eye books came out. You remember those? Some people would look at them, you couldn't see any pictures. But then some other people, you look at them and you see the pictures in them. I just remember Shaver looking at the rocks the same way that you look at those books. It just was a certain way to look at them. And they were, as he said, they were 3D, and I could never really see them. I've looked sometime, and I guess several times I have seen exactly what he said. And it is remarkable, but I can't repeat the thing. But just because I can't repeat it doesn't mean it wasn't true. Because I've done that on other things where I've done one thing one time and never been able to repeat it.
I have to tell you that my first wife, Geneva, and I were able to sometimes see things in his printouts. So I don't know if that's us or what.
Times I have, it is quite remarkable. So you think, well, okay, maybe he has something. But it's just something I haven't been able to repeat consistently.
Now, we should explain here that his dad, Ray A. Palmer, or R.A.P. as he was known, was one of the pioneer science fiction editors. He had worked with Amazing Stories magazine. And as I was mentioning here before we started this interview, those of you who saw the movie John Carter, which was actually a big flop, but I kind of liked the movie. It was a science fiction story based on the novels John Carter of Mars, A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Now, Ray Palmer published some of the final John Carter of Mars novels in Amazing Stories magazine. And then he also got involved in the Shaver mystery. Now, what do you remember about your dad and his involvement in Shaver's particular story?
First, I'd go with the, like, Edgar Rice Burroughs things. Because I remember when I was young, my dad would read Edgar Rice Burroughs books to me. And so I got interested in the Tarzan series and later on the John Carter series. And I remember one time in somewhere in Amazing Stories, one of his editorials, one of the reasons he was doing science fiction was to stimulate people's minds. Because imagination, as he said, imagination is very important because we have nothing without imagination. It's nice to know knowledge, but if you don't have imagination, you don't get the knowledge or it's not created. So, yes, I grew up with Edgar Rice Burroughs and that, and it did stimulate, and science fiction, too. So I was an avid science fiction reader back then.
Did you ever think of trying to write yourself?
I do, but I think writing has missed my generation. Either I got terminal writer's block or it takes every other generation, I'm not sure.
But you're involved in more of the publishing end of it. You do printing and everything.
Yes. My dad did the thinking, and I did the hard work. Not the hard work, but the root work, you call that. So it takes two, one to produce, one to think about it, one to produce it. So we worked out pretty good together.
Uh-huh. Now, after his passing, you continued to publish some of his books and republish them, right?
Yes. And I still do, I don't do too much in the Flying Saucers. At the 50th anniversary of Continental Sighting, I still had an old copy of the Coming of Saucers, so I did reprint that, and I issued I haven't had the very first radio broadcast that Kenneth Arnold made. So that was expected.
Tell. Did you ever meet Kenneth Arnold?
Oh, yes. He came here several times. We have pictures of him where he landed the plane up in Farmer's Field, which made quite a stir around here. So just a flat field up on top of the hill here, and then the farmer came down with Kenneth Arnold in the car saying, he just landed his plane in my field.
Now, the big story about Kenneth Arnold, of course, first of all, is his sighting on June 24th, 1947. Did you talk to him about that?
Well, I've heard of him and Dad talking, and I did meet him probably, I can't remember, 1972, somewhere around there. I went to his house there. And we talked about that somewhat, and then we talked about his other things he was doing. But again, as far as my father and Kenneth Arnold talked about, again, Kenneth Arnold was interested to prove what they were because he got ridiculed so much and he wanted to prove, yes, he saw these things and he wanted to prove what they were. But they never did say like they were from outer space or anything. Even if you listen to his first radio broadcast, he thought they were, might have been in a military secret planes.
Well, actually, if I could just say a word here, Gene, I had a little correspondence recently with someone in Kenneth Arnold's family. And actually, Ken Arnold, I think, had something like 7 or 8 other sightings, and he did not consider the one around Mount Rainier to be the best of observations. But he actually believed that these were not crafts from other planets, but might have been some sort of mechanism where the souls of the departed passed over to the other side. I mean, he had some fairly unusual conceptions. It's kind of interesting if you hear people, you know, other ufologists bring up his sightings and all, but yet they have little knowledge of his actual background, and what he believed. In fact, at his home in Idaho, I believe it's where he lived, right? Was it Idaho or Iowa? Idaho. And he actually said that invisible beings came into his house there. He even reported one time seeing a rocking chair swaying back and forth without anybody being in it.
I think this gets more and more elaborate, and we're going to continue with remembrances of Kenneth Arnold, Richard Shaver, Ray Palmer with Ray B. Palmer, Tim Beckley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You know, for many of us, so much of our jobs are tied to our office computers. We have networks, special programs, important files. You feel chained to your office just to be productive. Well, here's some good news. There is a better way. It's one I've used myself. It's called GoToMyPC. It's a secure remote access tool from Citrix that turns any computer tablet, or smartphone into your office computer. How about that? With Go to My PC, you can access your entire network, use any program, save, edit, send any file from anywhere. Don't even need to worry about those flash drives. My listeners, by the way, can try Go to My PC free for just 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code podcast. Then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com. The promo code is podcast.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and with Chris on the Paracast, we're talking to Raymond B. Palmer, the son of Raymond A. Palmer, the co-founder of Fate Magazine, the person who brought us the Shaver Mystery, one of the pioneers in the UFO field. And we have Tim Beckley, sometimes called Mr. UFO. Tim, you're going to tell us more about the more unusual beliefs of Kenneth Arnold.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, he thought that these craft might have actually been living, some sort of living entities, and that he thought that they came from some other realm or some other dimension. He didn't buy into the interplanetary theory that much. And he believed, which is a non-conception, but I have heard it repeated. I think John Lear kind of discusses this, that they are some sort of device that carries the souls of the departed over into the next realm, over hereafter.
Now, that would come as a surprise to a lot of people who looked at Kenneth Arnold as someone had a pretty straight-ahead kind of guy, a nuts-and-bolts person that yeah, had these
right,
beliefs.
Right, nuts-and-bolts, right. Most people are very shocked when I tell them this story. But besides even the information that I got from his family member, I had read this before, the local paper where he lived, did a little interview with him maybe 30 years ago, just before his passing, and went into some of this other material. So it's not, like I'm the only person that knows about it, because it has been, it has been repeated. But I must say that Ray's father, Raymond A. Palmer, was a true icon. You know, we throw the word icon around today like almost it's almost nothing. Anybody who's on a reality show is an icon suddenly. But his dad really was an icon, and many people say if it wasn't for Ray Palmer, there would be no flying saucer mystery.
I just want to interject a little bit. I have a different version of that story, which I've heard from my mother, and also I had some dictaphone tapes from Kenneth Arnold. And I believe it, again, from his tapes, it was more his wife that went into the more the mystical or spiritual one. And actually, they had quite a few arguments about that. Because Kenneth Arnold, he was, like I say, nuts and bolts. He didn't believe in that. So whether I got some of the tapes here yet, and then I did take them, one of them, some dictaphone to a radio station to have them try and get the dictaphone to work, but then they disappeared, so I don't have those anymore. But again, my remembrance of that, and I might have copies of this, that one that he, the spiritual was more of his wife's thinking, and Kenneth Arnold didn't really agree with that. And yes, that he did think they moved and acted like living objects. So yes, I've heard him say that.
Now, I know that some other people have written about possibly living UFOs, but with Arnold, we always think of the Maury Island case, which was the subject of the coming of the saucers, his portion of that book that he wrote with your father. What was your knowledge about that incident, Maury Island?
Well, I still have one of the fragments from Maury Island.
You do? Tell me more.
Oh, well, Dad had several of the fragments, and over the years, because my dad would give away everything. My mom would drive my mom crazy because some people would come and he would say they'd want it and he'd give it to them. But we still had the one fragment left. And people have asked me to analyze it. I've sent out pieces, and I've got one guy said, well, it's heavier than it should be. But again, what does it mean? And my trouble is, when Dad had him analyzed, I believe he had it analyzed that this is the fragment he got from Grissman. And he had him at one analyzed that he said a U.S. deal and one at Northwestern University. But my trouble is I don't have the original analysis. So we can now analyze these, but without the originals, we have a lot of loose ends always.
How big is the sample that you still have?
Oh, it's probably the side, 1.5 by 1.5.
Inches, we're talking about, not feet.
Yeah, inches and probably a quarter inch thick, not quite that. And I remember reading one time he said, he had a fragment in his office at Ziff Davis, and the FBI came and they're talking about it. You'd have to go back to the Amazing Story. It's more like a research project. And he said the FBI were talking about this, and he had one of the fragments sitting in front of them, using it as an ashtray or something like that.
Sounds like he was having a laugh at their expense.
Yep. And he also mentioned at that time, the fragment, when he had first originally got it, was light-colored, and it turned dark. And the last time I broke a little piece off and sent it to somebody, yes, when you break it out, it's light-colored on the inside.
Just so our listeners know about what we're talking about here, these are the fragments that fell in the wake of the UFO sighting at Maury Island.
Well, these are the fragments that Fred Grissman sent to Dad. Again, that's the story that Fred Grissman told me.
Now, did you have any opinion about Grissman and what he said?
Well, I just, what I've, like I said, I never met him, and I just, what I've read on the, in my dad's magazine, Grissman said one thing, Dad said the other thing, but I'm pretty sure Dad didn't make anything out of that up, so. Again, I know nothing about Grissman, really. I can have formally no opinion about that.
Well, some people thought he was a kind of deceptive sort of person.
That's, again, what I read. And all I can go with some people, fortunately for my father, as he said, he wrote down everything he thought about and everything. So if people are really interested in him, it's more like a research project. You just have to find the issue that he wrote it in, and you get it right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So he does have comments on what he thinks Chrisman was doing or what you said about him, yes. But I can't put my finger on it right now.
I believe your Chrisman first got in touch with your father when he was editing Amazing Stories. He wrote this letter in which Ray published about being trapped in a cave and how to fight his way out against the Bureau. And that was the first, I think, you've heard from Chrisman, and then published a few other letters over the years.
Yes, that's possible. Again, there's a mountain of material that my dad wrote and everything. It's just a matter of finding it.
After all these years, is there stuff that he wrote that has never been published?
Not too much, I don't think. In fact, there's probably a lot that's been published that I don't know about even.
No, I understand.
I think most everything he thought about or ideas about, he put in his magazines.
So the magazine was very much like his blog.
Now, that's right, yes. As I always think today my dad...
Was he a teenager, Ray, when he first started writing?
Pardon, I didn't hear that.
Was he a teenager when he first started writing? He was writing science fiction, of course.
Oh, yes. I found his very first story, The Time Ray of Chandra. I actually have the first magazine that was published in. And it was...
What year was that?
Pardon?
What year was that?
Oh, I would have to look that up. My memory's always terrible, but I do have that. And he sold it when he was 18, he said. And whether he published it... I just moved yesterday or 2 days ago. I moved my cabinet downstairs from where I'm talking, so I had it. But, yeah, I could find that out if somebody wanted to, but, yeah. And I also have a little... he kept a record of all his stories he sold. He had, like, a logbook. How many times he submitted them, how many times they were rejected, alterations, first time he was plagiarized, and how much he made for each one.
Plagiarized?
Yep.
That doesn't sound too nice.
Well, I guess he wasn't too pleased with the guy that used it either, but...
We have Raymond B. Palmer joining us with Tim Beckley and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Food storage? Check.
Survival tools? Check. Weapons and water filters? Check. But what about a permanent source of cooking power that can run forever without buying fuel or paying for maintenance? Introducing Afterburner Stoves, home of the original patented rocket stove, the Kelly Kettle, and the Solo Stove. Afterburner Stoves has what you need and now offers all GCN listeners our complete preparedness package with the means to cook meals and sanitize water. Whether you dig in or bug out, cook almost any meal with just a handful of sticks. We already have the lowest online prices guaranteed, but if you enter coupon code GCN at checkout, we'll knock off an additional 15% and send you our amazing 6-hour solar rechargeable light bulb absolutely free, all for only $249. Visit afterburnerstoves.com or call 866-716-5214. 866-716-5214. Afterburnerstoves.com. Cook hot meals with just a handful of sticks.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're being visited by the canines in the neighborhood. Every time we bring up a UFO discussion, they start barking. And you have to think that we are now debating the ET versus the occult theory of UFOs. Raymond B. Palmer joining us on the Paracast. He's the son of Raymond A. Palmer, pioneer science fiction writer, editor, co-founder of Fate magazine, considered one of the people who first popularized the mystery of the flying saucers. We also have Tim Beckley. Ray, I want to ask you about that, about your dad. Because of his connection with Fate magazine, the early publication of UFO information, he's considered almost the pioneer UFO researcher. What do you have to say?
Yes, well, again, I do have an interview with my mom that I have on tape, and whenever the flying saucer story first came out, Dad was interested in it. And also because of the Shaver mystery, it did corroborate some of Shaver's stories. And Dad always wanted to try to find the more physical proof to Shaver's stories. So yes, he was interested in that. Just to go off the subject just a little, when you started, you said the cult. What is your definition of the cult right now? Because when talking to my mother and everything, their definition of the cult is much different than what it seems to be now. The cult simply means to them the unknown or the unseen. And today it seems to mean something different, which I'm not sure what it really means today.
Mix it up with ghosts, strange powers like ESP, precognition, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So where the original cult was, well, the unknown or unseen, which is something that exists, but we still don't know what it is, so it's interesting to find out what things are. So that was my dad's interest in that cult.
Now let's go back to his time at Amazing Stories magazine, and you know, he's one of a number of science fiction magazine editors, and then he gets the material from Richard Shaver. What did he tell you about that?
Again, this is more from my mother, and it's the same as my dad had always written about it, so I know about that. And then I'm talking to my mother. He first, we all know the story about the letter that came to Howard Brown, which then Howard Brown threw it in the waste paper basket, and my dad retrieved and then published the ancient alphabet. But as far as his interaction with Shaver, my dad would go to New York once a month for Ziff Davis. And on one of his trips, he stopped in to see Richard Shaver. And that was the time when he talked to Richard. And my dad always had a way of talking to people. He had listened to people. And they would, after a while, they would think that actually he knew what they were talking about, when actually he was just listening and just to gather information from them. And a lot of people would open up to him more that way, because he wouldn't criticize or anything. He would just simply listen. And I guess they spent most of the night talking. And then when Dad went to bed, he heard the same voices that Richard was talking about.
This is where Richard Shaver was living in Pennsylvania at the time.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And at that night, he was hearing these voices, and that obviously indicated they have to have an external reality, because as I remember what your father wrote, is that you'd hear more than one person talking at the same time. And
yes,
if it was just Shaver speaking in different voices, that would be impossible.
Yes, that's what, again, you could read the account. He has that pretty well written in a lot of his stories. So, yes, that's basically what it was. And when he woke up in the morning, he sort of thought, okay, Richard Shaver had some hidden microphones or something, and he looked around, couldn't find any. So, again, that was his interest in Shaver. And one, it happened to him, he heard voices. And two, the circulation of Amazing Stories went up that 50,000. And, again, if you remember the story there, Mr. Strong, the circulation manager, had a hunch that the magazine circulation would increase that month, and stole paper from other publications to give to Amazing Stories. And Mr. Davis thought that the story was going to be garbage and they wouldn't be able to sell any of those copies. But in truth, they sold out all of them almost overnight. And again, if you go back to the story of when Dad told Richard he was going to publish the story, I can believe it was, I remember, Lemuria, Richard said, you need to publish more copies. And Dad said, well, there's a paper shortage. We can't do that.
And remember, folks, this is during World War II.
Yes. So there was a paper shortage, and all the other publications were selling like 98% or something, and Amazing was selling a little less. So it made no sense to take paper from one publication that's selling better and towards the other one. But Richard said, well, give me the circulation manager's name, and he'll do something about it. So Dad was quite amused and said, okay, gave him the name, and something like the next day or whatever it was, Strong called up Dad or something like that and said, well, we're going to increase it by 50,000.
Did he say how he got this inspiration? Did somebody call him or what? Or he had a feeling?
Had a feeling, I believe. Again, if you want to, you just have to read the writing there and you could. But I got the general gist of what I'm saying is, yeah, he had a feeling, I believe.
Okay, of course, now, supposedly the Deros and Tiros, the underground creatures, had telegrays, which are mind-controlled machines, so if they wanted to control someone's actions, they could just project these machines at them, so somebody down there can say, okay, you're going to get an inspiration guy that you want to print 50,000 more copies of Amazing Stories, and that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. And again, I got this, I've read this from my dad's writing, and my mom told the story, and actually one of the associate editors that I know, he said he wasn't in the office when that story came through as far as the circulation increase, but Dad had told him that afterwards. So again, he's saying the same thing my dad said, that for some reason the circulation was increased and for some reason they sold out.
Now, supposedly the circulation of Amazing Stories remained at a high level for the duration of the publication of the Shaver Stories. But as soon as the Shaver Stories stopped, the circulation went down to its normal level. And understand, even 50,000 copies for a science fiction magazine, say in the 50s and 60s or 70s, is pretty high.
Yes. And, okay, one thing we're talking about, circulations. I've had some people say that the circulation never went up to the Shaver story. But I happen to have the Science Fiction Digest back in something that, and they published the circulation results, because I guess there was a circulation audit bureau back then.
Audit Bureau of Circulation, yes.
Oh, okay. And it shows in like 1948, there's a 60% increase in circulation. So I'm looking at for 1947, 241,000, 1948, 385,000. And then after that, a gradual decline. And they also show in here like Popular and Thrilling magazines, monthly publications. It's just a comparison of all the pulps back then.
Imagine, for example, in our day and age, Ray, it'd be something like you put up a story on a website and you're getting a million page views a month, a page view being the number of pages is actually being seen by people. And suddenly you publish a story, it's posted online, and you get 2 million page views a month. It's kind of like that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So again, this is the only documentation of I have circulation, because I'm not sure if that circulation audit bureau or whatever is still available in the libraries. But this was the science fiction fan magazine or something back then. Again, I still have a copy of it.
Now, the crazy thing about here is when Ray first published the Shaver stories, guy who claimed to have been in contact with people who live in the inner earth, it was presented as science fiction. At some point in time, he said, no, this is a fact. I got to think the science fiction people who read these things and, you know, adored the stories of Edgar Rice Burroughs and the famous early science fiction writers of the time must have gone crazy.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that. Again, I've heard stories about people didn't like it or anything, but then I've also heard stories there was only a very few people that were writing and causing the problem, and the ones that were buying the magazine.
The hardcore science fiction fans, the test UFOs or anything like paranormal even to this day, and they did have a write-in campaign to Ziff Davis saying that it was a science fiction magazine, and if you didn't stop publishing the Shaver mystery stories, that they would take their reading interest elsewhere. So for years, there was a battle between the Shaver fans and the hardcore sci-fi buffs who wanted to depose Palmer and get rid of the Shaver mystery.
We'll get into very much more of this. We have Tim Beckley, Raymond B. Palmer, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Never before has there been a nail hardener that requires no drying time. The all-natural herbal blends of Nails of Steel can help eliminate cracking, splitting, hangnails, and other nail problems with virtually no drying time. Nails of Steel is hypoallergenic and biodegradable, and is so easy to use you can keep it at the home or at the office. Just massage this rich, creamy herbal lotion over your natural or polished nails, and within the first week you will begin to notice your nails looking healthier and strengthening.
My fingernails were always chipped, and then I started using Nails of Steel. Today my nails are healthy and strong, and they look like I just walked out of the salon.
Nails of Steel is also used by men. Men work hard, and their hands can show it.
I used to have split, broken nails. With Nails of Steel, I can work hard, be rough, and still have strong nails, keep my hands looking groomed.
You don't have to be a female to want Nails of Steel. Everyone wants a good-looking pair of hands. And broken, chipped, and damaged nails can be painful. Go to nailsofsteel.com for healthy, manicured-looking nails. Nailsofsteel.com for the salon in a bottle. That's nailsofsteel.com.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We're back with Raymond B. Palmer, the son of Raymond A. Palmer, pioneer science fiction editor, UFO researcher, writer, publisher, co-founder of Fate magazine, need I go on, and Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO. Now, at some point in time, Ray, Amazing Stories stopped publishing the Shaver mystery material. Was that because of reader pressure?
Last Shaver story was published just the issue after Howard Brown took over, and it moved to New York. Because what happened is the Chicago office of Zip Davis was going to be closed. And that's when many of the writers and editors went off on their own, like Kirk Fuller, Bill Hamling, my dad, and several other ones, I believe. And but Howard Brown went to New York with that. So the last story that I ever saw of Shaver's was the very first issue, I believe 1950, or whatever, that Howard Brown was in charge of. And more than likely it was just there because it was already in the can before Howard Brown took care of it. But yes, as the later years, the number of Shaver stories went down. And also, the Shaver mystery had gone down a little bit before because they've covered as much as they could, but Shaver did a lot of science fiction ones too, which weren't really related to his mystery too.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Shaver is a decent writer, but not a great writer. Did your dad do a lot of editing and revising of the Shaver stories?
I can't tell you how much. I know he changed the flavor a little bit because, if you read his books, he did state, well, he worked for Ziff Davis and he had to sell magazines. So he had a story he got, he did change it in form that would be more attractive to readers. So yes, the trouble is now we can't tell what he changed just to make it more readable and what Shaver did. It would be sure nice to have Shaver's original manuscript, so we don't have that. But again, that was his job when he was working for Ziff Davis, and he's freely admitted in his books too that he had to write sell magazines.
Being an editor myself, and I did get a lot of correspondence from Shaver. At some point, we were putting out a newsletter called The Searchlight, which was devoted to the Shaver mystery, pretty much in the inner earth material. And Shaver would write on onion skin paper, usually sent to like the third carbon copy, hadn't changed the ribbon in years. And I know in order to print the Shaver's material, I'd have to put a new piece of paper into the typewriter and just start kind of from scratch. The flavor of the material was there, but the essence of professional writing seemed to be, frankly, somewhat lacking. And I know I published some correspondence from your dad that he had written me, and the fact of the matter is he said he did have to change a lot of the material. I mean, make it more readable. Certainly, Shaver had the habit of writing in very, very long, drawn-out sentences, which he thought he was probably being very colorful, but he didn't quite have that down as far as I'm concerned. His information was more important than the style that he wrote in, and I believe your dad realized that as well. But there had been a great controversy. In fact, in my own book, The Shaver Mystery in the Inner Earth, I have a correspondence from both of them where they both denied what the other individual was saying. Shaver would claim, though, that he wrote, 90% of the material and Palmer didn't have to do any of the editing. And he did kind of, defraud at that because he realized he had to put a lot of work into it.
You know, let me raise one thing here about the Shaver mystery. When I interviewed your dad back in 1965, he revealed that during the 8 years that Shaver said he was down in the caves, he was actually institutionalized. What do you know about that?
Just what my dad has said, and he wrote about that, too. And also my mother confirmed that, too, yes. So, yes, he physically, his body physically was, I don't know, actually I could find the name of the place where it was, too, some one of his dad's articles, too, but, yeah, that's what it was. But, again, where the question always comes to me, where does information really come from?
Well, the key here is that he said he believed Shaver anyway, that his mind was somewhere that was real and that he had a real encounter. On the other hand, when I asked Shaver about this, and I asked him a number of times, I have an article for my magazine that published your father's interview, an article from Richard Shaver where he denied he was in such a place, said it didn't happen.
Yeah, and I guess one of our Hidden World magazines, Dad did write the same thing. He asked Shaver that and told him that, and Shaver said, well, it's just as if I'm talking to you now. This is how it happened. So, yes, there was a... But how Dad found out about Shaver Institution, I guess one of the readers was a nurse at one of these institutions and wrote my father. So that's how he got that information.
So basically, your dad said, I got the evidence here. Richard Shaver was in this institution or more than one institution for a number of years. Shaver says that didn't happen.
Again, I didn't. Without having the name of the nurse or anything, we can't tell either. But that's the source of where my dad got the information from.
Okay, but we don't dismiss Shaver as just being crazy.
No, I've never, just what I've known him, no. Depends like me called crazy. I think he's able to get information that a lot of us can't. But that doesn't mean that it's not out there. We just can't prove it yet. And I say, they always want proof. Yeah, but I just say we can't prove it yet.
Well, Ray, how much, percentage-wise, how much did you believe of what Richard Shaver was saying? I mean, do you really believe that there are Jero and this underground civilization that's trying to erase havoc and chaos here on the surface?
Well, I guess I'm sort of like my dad in that. I believe I don't like to use believe. I think that he was getting information and very possibly he was interpreting it the way he thought it should be. It doesn't mean that it was interpreted right, and it certainly doesn't mean that he didn't see it or experience it. It's just that his interpretation of it and what is not what we can understand. Again, I don't say that it doesn't exist. I sort of think probably what he did exist, but it's just the interpretation that has got jumbled so much.
You did believe that taking a more paranormal or astral concept of this, but yet on the other hand, there were thousands and thousands of readers who sent in their letters saying, some of them saying that they had been in the caves, and others saying that they had heard the voices and that they knew that the Dero had existed. In fact, in the Hidden World series, which we still keep in print, we have some of the volumes, and there are many of these letters that were actually reprinted in there from the early issues of Amazing Stories. And to this day, of course, a lot of people do believe in the existence of the Dero and the Tero and of these ancient mind manipulation machines. And the mystery goes on, even though, of course, it's not as popular as it might have been in the 1940s. Many people have heard of it, of course, and even Look magazine, I think, at one point in an article on the Shaver mystery.
Now, another point, too, I remember my mother saying, when Shaver would have these spells, or his Dorothy would call him, he'd be his sickness, Shaver said that whenever it came to him, it'd be like a pain. And a lot of times, my mom, when you'd hear these sometimes people on TV that do horrible things, like mass shootings or something back in the past, and they were said they were told to do this, and they said it's like a pain. And Mom always said, well, I sort of believe him, because that's exactly what Richard said. So are we influenced? I sort of think we probably are a little bit.
Now, there's a story that your dad told, and it's kind of a frightening story, and I want to frame this, and we'll probably continue in the next segment. Maybe you can tell me more about it. And the reason I bring this up is this interview and many of the other interviews that I had done and my first wife, Geneva, had done for a magazine called Caveat Emptor are going to be republished in the near future, we're digitizing a lot of old content from these magazines. We have the interview with your father, interview with Shaver, interview with Tim Beckley, and many others. And your dad told a story here where they're going to have a special Shaver mystery issue of Amazing Stories magazine. And they want to get all the stuff right, all the scientific information right. And what he said here is that they sent this to a typesetter. Remember, we're using hot type, lead. This is old-fashioned typography in the 1940s. They had their best typesetter produce all the mathematical tables, which is very difficult to do because I've done work in typesetting. It's really, really difficult to set down equations. It's hard enough to do it with a word processor. So we imagine here they've got all this information, all these figures, to the best typesetter at this particular printing plant. And what your dad said, Ray, is that when they got back the proofs, this is the samples to see that everything was okay, there were more than 100 errors on a single page. Do you recall that?
I recall the story, and again, Tim might remember which issue that was published in, but again, my dad did publish that and showed some of the errors.
It was fascinating because your dad went to the typesetter, or the printer's representative went there and said, "These errors, how could you possibly do anything like this?" And I'll tell you what he said in a moment. We have Raymond B. Palmer, son of Raymond A. Palmer, Tim Beckley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Land in Buenos Aires, then a shuttle to Santa Rosa for a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.